Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport.
TalkSport.
Hello and welcome to our World Cup podcast, back home with me, Paul Hawksby.
And me, Andy Jacobs. And today we'll be looking back on another four games, including a giant killing, a shoeing, an exciting 1-0, and yet another 0-0 draw.
That's right, we'll do all that in the company of the global football expert, Kevin Hatchard, the ex-Premier League referee, Mark Halsey, and former Canada midfielder and Como coach, Mark Burcham. Yes, another thrilling day at the World Cup. Didn't start in a particularly thrilling way with Croatia versus Morocco. But, Andy, a couple of good games. I mean, plenty of goals in. We saw Spain get an absolute hat for and a very enjoyable game between Canada and Belgium just now.
What's the point of Costa Rica, really? Why do they even come here?
If they play like that against Qatar, you'd think they'd take the bung, wouldn't you? I mean, it was a really appalling performance, which, you know, I mean, I didn't think there was much down from to start with, but man, they didn't ask any questions of Spain at all. Did look good, but I mean, the most intriguing thing now after the games today, and we'll talk to Kevin Hatchard about this, is Sunday night, Spain-Germany. I mean, we were at Germany's second game of the last World Cup when they had to get that result against Sweden to stay in the mix. And they got the result from that Toni Kroos free kick at the death. But they never looked convincing in that tournament. And you never really fancied them. So they've got that look about them again. I mean, Kevin will know better than us, but you can smell an exit in the group stages again, can't you?
In that Spain game, every time I looked down, I couldn't concentrate on the game at all. So every time I looked down on my phone, I missed a goal.
Yeah,
that was another goal. I didn't even have the sound on. But it was a couple of things. I'm very glad Qatar Energy were advertising on the perimeter boards. I never use anyone else. And how much does it cost to air condition an outdoor stadium? Seriously, this World Cup's got the carbon footprint of a Yeti, I'd say. Honestly.
Yeah, there was a bit. I think the BBC did a piece last night. They've been claiming it's a carbon neutral World Cup, but American Boffin has looked at it and said it's possibly the worst World Cup from that point of view of all time. Now, Andy. Yes.
No, just while you mentioned Boffin, because it's such a good segue into this thing, and it's about Belgium. This is an Oxford mathematical genius, a guy called Bell, who won the National Fantasy League competition. He's like takes a mathematical approach to football.
Yeah.
What he's done, a mathematical model. And isn't his model, Belgium will meet Brazil in the final.
I thought, really?
Not with that defense, mate.
No. I mean, I was going to say to you, I did really enjoy watching the Belgian legends tonight. It was fantastic. I'd like to have seen Enzo Schifo come on a bit earlier. I just wanted Jan Koolemans to get 10 minutes because he's got to be in his 60s now. But the team that Martinez put out to start, if anything, that's his best 11. I mean, they look better when Trossard and one or two others came.
No, I wrote down, it's very prescient of me, Anana will give Belgium some much-needed energy, and he did. Yeah. That's what they were lacking.
They were lacking energy. And they were just pretty, I mean, you know, pretty poor. The thing is, and again, something we'll touch on with Kevin, you used to look down that Belgian team sheet and it was pretty awe-inspiring. And Kevin De Bruyne was just another name amongst all these great players. And I know that Lukaku's missing, but you look at them now and there's players out of form, players playing in poor leagues, players in their 70s. I mean, exactly? As an exception. I love Jan and Toby, but I loved them about 6 years ago, really.
No, it's true. Batshuayi is an odd player because a whole series of Chelsea managers, probably about 6 or 7, have not fancied him. And the thing is, he's quite a good finisher, but outside the box, it's like having 10 men. He's absolutely astonishingly terrible.
There was an odd banner in the Canadian end, Danny. I don't know if you noticed, there was a maple leaf flag, and next to it was just a huge word that said spenge.
Spenge?
S-P-E-N-G-E, spenge, on a big banner. So I thought, well, it must be a place in Canada. So I looked it up. Apparently it's a place in Germany.
Oh. But
it's also a slang word. It's an English slang word for someone who's a bit of an idiot. But I did. It did strike me. One for the teenagers.
We'll call Birch a spench and see if he reacts.
He says, see if he kicks off. But I did think of Robert Robinson saying, and the word is spench.
Yeah.
But so there we are, one for the teenagers. No, I didn't get around to my one for the teenagers last night, so I'll give it for you now.
Go on.
Little references for people of a certain age. Mexico had a player playing called C. Montez. And I was thinking, how many people were singing Let's Dance? And I think, and not the David Bowie version either. So there we are, one for the team.
I've been following Be In Sports lineup after Keezy's proud boast. It's the most diverse lineup in the tournament.
Yes.
And following John Terry and Gary Neville, today they had Peter Schmeichel and Ronald De Boer. It doesn't get more diverse, does it?
It does. They're going to start to phase in the more diverse presenters, I think, as time goes on.
Do you reckon, do you?
No time. It doesn't sound like we need to have the Harry Kane ankle on the cover of the tabloids tomorrow for us to kiss it or touch it, rub it or whatever it is in a kind of Eileen Drury style. So it looks like he's all right, doesn't it? Everything that what Jordan Pickford said today.
That's good.
The papers are desperately looking for features around the World Cup. And in the Telegraph features pull out today, this was definitely the features editor calling up Sonia Harrier saying, hello, Sonia, it's Brian here. I'm done with his name. I've got no idea. We need something on the England. Have you got anything for us? Have any of them got outrageous haircuts? And she said, well, I'll have a look. So she had a look and she couldn't come up with any outrageous haircuts. So the big feature is a whole page. I'll show it to camera too. A whole page on the England players' nondescript haircuts. What's with England's Lego haircuts? It doesn't even work. Basically, they say it's a highly refined astronaut look. Well, it's not really, is it? And then we got the history of the short back and sides and where it came from, and the history of the crew cut. If you're interested,
they have a quote from Tim Peake.
They should do. The short back and sides dates from the First World War, when military barbers would efficiently and quickly cut the hair short to give a uniform appearance. Yes, thanks for that. Who cares? And the crew cut is a version of the same style, originated in the late 1920s when a Yale rower had his hair cut short and the rest of the crew followed suit. Actually, that's quite decent QI knowledge. But there's a whole page, old desperate page.
It's good, isn't it?
And so look out for more of those as the competition.
I've just got letters from the start.
Oh, okay. Good ones, are they?
Yeah, oh, not bad, actually. This one really got me from Mr. Coffee. He said, my glorious Wales will win the World Cup. They were so much better than England. What? England won 6-2, mate.
Yes.
Gareth Bale's my hero. Up the Dragons, he says. Well, fair enough. You've got to be optimistic, haven't you?
By the way, I mean, the ego of Cristiano Ronaldo really does no bounds. They were talking about the photo shoot that they did. Well, in fact, they weren't in the same room. Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo weren't ever in the same space together playing chess.
That must have been quite tricky.
Yeah, they were sort of cut into the shot. So they made it look like the two of them were there. But Ronaldo said afterwards, life is like chess, and added with a smile, I would like to be the player to checkmate Messi. It happened in the chess game. And if it happened in football, it would be magic. So he's still claiming he won a non-competitive game of chess that neither of them actually played in.
We're in the same room.
Point scoring.
He's ridiculous, isn't he? Honestly, it's a real joyous World Cup, isn't it? You see, a fan has revealed how he was set upon by security guards after trying to do keepy uppies at all eight World Cup stadiums. What a jamboree it is, isn't it?
It is. Marvellous. It's a festival of fun.
Honestly.
Yeah, there's some worries. That's 3-0-0s we've had. We had 3 in a row, of course. 3-0 all draws in a row.
That's unusual, isn't it? Because you were saying last night there was only one in Russia.
One in 2018, just one 0-0 draw, which I was quite surprised at. I think there were very few in 2014 at the latter stages. So it's quite weird that we've had a couple of cagey games, but generally we've seen a lot of goal saves. So, you know, 3 of the 4 games were exciting. We'll be honest, Andy, neither of us watched Japan Germany live. That was in sad circumstances. Regular listeners, I know we lost a good mate of ours, David English, the loon, Dr. David, Lord Bunbury recently. And we said farewell to him today. So we were, I watched the highlights of the game back.
Yeah, me too.
Did look an absolute thriller. So I think Kevin...
Germany should look like they should have won it, really. But it's a bit like the Saudi Arabia game. But
indeed.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
Well, a fairly quiet day for the officials today, unlike the first couple of days when we had plenty to talk about. But the fact remains it's going to be contentious decisions throughout. So we thought we'd sort of take the pulse of a man who knows, somebody refereed in the Premier League for many years and is working on this World Cup from an official's point of view. It is the former Premier League referee, Mark Housie. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good, thanks. Are you guys okay?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark.
Pretty good. So what have you made overall, a kind of blanket look at the way the officials have been doing their job at the tournament so far?
I think it's gone quite smoothly at present. I mean, there's always going to be one or two decisions, perhaps where we don't agree. Obviously, in the England-Iran game with the holding offence, the two holding offences we've seen, one penalty given, one not given for England, which I thought was an absolutely nailed-on penalty.
Yeah.
I don't understand why VAR do not get involved in that situation yet. Get involved with the one involving John Stones for the little bit of a shirt tug. But you can argue that they were inconsistent on that day. But having said that, I thought the referee still refereed the game well because he played two excellent advantages for the third and fourth goal. So on the whole, I think it's been fairly quiet. It is normally goes that way in tournament football. It's not until, you know, teams start looking at facing like they're going to be knocked out and you get into the knockout stages that the tempo and the challenges start to go in.
I wonder if it's easier for the referees, Mark, in a way, because to me, all the pressure seems to be on VAR and on Kalina and the inconsistencies from day to day, as you rightly said, one game not given, next game given, and that sort of thing. So it is interesting, isn't it? The referees themselves seem to be doing okay.
They do, yeah. And it was pleasing to see the referee in the, was it the Tunisia? The Tunisia part? Was
Denmark.
It the Tunisia,
Denmark, Denmark, yeah. Overall,
the handball, which I thought was, you know, I didn't think VAR should have got involved in that incident because it was very, very harsh. I mean, it's come off his body, stroke arm onto his other arm at pace, and there's less distance, you know, between the player and the ball. And it was pleasing to see that the referee go over, view the monitor, and stick with his decision by not giving a penalty. I thought that's what we're crying out for referees to do, aren't we, in the Premier League, and we don't see it.
Yeah,
absolutely. I did know tonight we heard from on commentary. I don't know if you heard, there were 7 different nationalities in the VAR hub.
Yeah.
They should try that at Stockley Park. It might improve it.
Might get a few more decisions, right?
Yeah. It was interesting. But
what you have to understand is that every FIFA official has to speak English.
Right.
So they will all, you know, they will all speak, communicate in English.
I don't like the ref shirts, do you? I don't like that design.
You're not keen on it?
Oh, it's a bit racist.
You won't be buying one of those as a replica shirt. Definitely not. You're talking about the Maguire decision and then the one we saw in the Argentina game. I saw in your little Sun column you were saying that there would have been a debrief after the England game. So I would imagine they are having these conversations every day, looking to tweak it, looking to get the balance. Yeah.
But that's what happens. They have their get together the next day, and they go through the game, they go through the clips, and the whole class. They'll all be there in a class, and they'll all go through these clips, and you can see in the Argentinian penalty, it wasn't as severe as the holding offence when the English have a penalty, but it was obvious that they had spoken about that incident because it was given. And rightly given, although it wasn't as clear cut as that, the one that we should have got.
No.
Nevertheless, it was still a penalty, and it was right, and it was good to see that they were giving those, because they've set down the marker now, haven't they? That they've got to be giving those as penalties.
It'd be interesting to see, of course, if it feeds into the Premier League after the World Cup. But a point of law you might be able to clear up, because I've seen a lot of people discussing.
Don't ask me about law.
The penalty tonight, all right, I thought it was a penalty, and it was goal-bound. But a lot of people felt the yellow card was unfair, really, a bit hard, like it wasn't really deliberate. What's the reason for that?
Well, listen, I do you know what? I wrote that down in my notes. About the caution, and I'm 100% with you. I thought the penalty was sufficient punishment. You don't need to caution every handball. Was it deliberate? You could argue it's deliberate, but for me, penalty was sufficient punishment. And you do see different styles of refereeing from the South American referees or the Asian part of the world to the European referees. There is a difference.
Yeah. We were saying on the podcast the other day, Mark, that unlike the Premier League, where you can get five bookings before you miss a game, you've only got two hits here before you get a ban. And with Gareth Bale the other night, perfectly good tackle, yellow card. Carrasco tonight, you could argue, not a yellow card.
Yeah, so yeah.
They count. You do wonder whether there'd be a way to maybe after the games to overturn these, because you've got such a small window. It's quite easy to pick up a couple of yellow cards in three.
Yeah. Games. Personally, I think in tournament football, I think they should upped it to three cautions, because you quite rightly say sometimes you see so many cheap cautions, and it's very difficult sometimes for referees in real time. So it is difficult, but then you can see when you see on the slow-mo and the replays that you think, oh, hang on, that's a bit harsh, or that looks a bit harsh, or that was harsh. So I would like to see it raised to three before you get the ban.
That's one thing Paul and I discovered, Mark, when we went to the referee's hotel in 2014, we were invited there, and we had lunch with one of the officials, and we chatted, that they all take the mickey out of each other.
Yes. So there's a lot of gallows humour, isn't it?
Hello, Mark. You've gone over there. I thought you'd fallen over there.
He's just getting a red card for that. He's on.
Oh, no.
He's always. I love the fact as a referee, you've always got a red card on you, just in case. Somebody cuts you up at the lights.
Yeah, I was just doing a cameo thing, talent, and I had to do something with a red card. He's down to be there.
But I was thinking this morning, because the way they are with each other, in the Morocco game, the ball must have been a foot out of play right in front of the linesman.
Yeah,
I bet they're going to show him that tonight. They're going to get him on that one.
Absolutely.
All the old
we do have a laugh when you do pull their legs, and we used to do that all the time. So, but you've got to have a bit of fun.
No, absolutely.
Talking of red cards, Mike, one final question. No reds as yet, which is quite interesting. Oh, I wonder if that's players being careful. Oh, yeah, no, I shouldn't.
Just be quiet.
That's a benefit of five subs that you can afford to sub a player who's got on a yellow.
Yeah. I wonder if it's the players behaving themselves and being aware that the referees have got a pretty low bar, or whether it's the refs being a bit more lenient themselves, letting stuff go.
Yeah, I have noticed that we have seen a bit of leniency, which for me, I think is good for the game and good for the tournament. But you always get in the early games, players behave themselves. Their discipline is very good. Except obviously, I mean, the Saudi Arabian sort of, their discipline wasn't as good as time went on, was it, the other night? But normally in tournament football, as I said, their discipline is very good in the early stages. It's when it becomes a knockout stage and teams could be seeing themselves being knocked out of the competition. That's when the intensity comes up, the challenges go in, and we will see a few more yellow. And I won't be surprised if we do see a red card, like you say, shortly.
Well, Mark, lovely to talk to you as always. Hopefully we'll catch up with you later in the tournament. But for now, thanks very much for joining us.
Take care, guys. All the best.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
Our thanks to Mark Housey. As we said, we'll hopefully catch up with him a little bit later in the tournament when those Reds start flying around. But we're going to reflect now on the game between Belgium and Canada. A fantastic performance by Canada. They just couldn't find the goal. And joining us now, former Canada midfielder, friend of the show, formerly at QPR and Millwall, Mark Burcham. How are you doing, Birch?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you doing, chaps?
Yeah, we're not good. Too bad, thank you. So, I saw a couple of tweets you put out. You're pretty gutted in the end that they couldn't find that, at least the equaliser, which they deserved.
Definitely, just a mix of emotions because, one, relieved we played well and we didn't get battered because you've always got in the back of the mind playing Belgium, it could go horribly wrong. But then just disappointment because I don't think we could have played any better, but we just... was missing the composers. Probably first game in the World Cup. It's got exciting. We've had 21 shots and 3 on target. And I think that sums it up. And when we would started so well and we was getting chances and we missed the penalty, you just knew Belgium would probably get one chance and take it. And it was Batshuayi, ex-Chelsea man, that was probably the first thing.
No, I think you'll find he's still with us, isn't he?
That was probably the first thing he'd done right all game. He started off.
Yeah. And then... that's the only thing he did all game. I thought they missed you in midfield, really. They had a 39-year-old. I thought they could have found a place for you.
Atiba, I played with Atiba. Great, though.
I was going to ask you that. Do you know any of the guys?
Yeah. Well, I coached the under-17s and under-20s, and we had a lot of the guys. And now I coached with an English lad who's Canadian as well, Rob Gow. So a lot of the lads, Alfonso was in there, Sam Adekunle, Jonathan David, Carl Larin. A load of them we've coached.
Yeah,
back years ago now, so it's great to see him out there.
He ran out of steam a bit, Tejon Buchanan, didn't he? But he looks a player, doesn't he? Mm.
Yeah, he's a player. Again, Alfonso, I don't think Alfonso Davies was fully fit. He weren't his explosive best. Probably, like, when you're that quick, you're suffering from hamstring. So he'd probably be, even with the penalty, he didn't look, when he stepped up and he put it down, I was worried straight away. Maybe that was my pessimistic self, which I'm very rarely pessimistic. I didn't have full confidence when he was running up to it. So
I've got a theory about Courtois, though. I think he psychs out kickers. He psychs out strikers.
He did look huge in that goal, didn't he, for the penalty?
Yeah, I often think that a striker looks at him and thinks, I've got to get it right in the corner. I've got to get it in the postage, because he's such a brilliant keeper.
Yeah, no, he is. He is. And he must look, when you're under pressure and take the penalty like that, he looks twice as big and the goal looks twice as small. So, but when you take that type of penalty, it's 50-50. The keeper goes the right way, he's definitely going to save it. So, look, it's one of them things. Jonathan David played. Cole Aaron's probably a better finisher. So Jeddo had as many chances, but I definitely think we had a second penalty. I don't know why.
Yeah.
One of the two should be given. I think the one where he's tripped him from behind.
Yeah.
I thought that was more of a blatant penalty.
Clear pen for
the,
me.
The other one, so yeah, Vasa does surprise me.
Yeah, it's. Look, I mean, do you feel they've, you know, they'll take a lot of confidence from the performance? They've taken Belgium, you know, a good side, really close, haven't they? So I'm sure Herdman will be saying to them, look, you know, just bear that in mind. That was a good performance, and you know, you can do better than that. They put the penalty away; it could have been a completely different game.
Yeah, that's why you mix with. You want to be happy, and it's a great performance, but. Just that disappointment where we probably won't have that chance again to beat Belgium. We probably played Belgium 8 times and probably just have that one chance to win. So, look, you can look forward to Croatia. I see them as a similar side to Belgium, probably a bit ageing. They're more technical and more possession side, and that should help our high press and our athleticism.
Yeah.
Modric now, you haven't still said, decent.
Yeah, you haven't said the word a boot yet, so people will be wondering how you qualify.
I can say, hey, what's that?
I was going to ask you, do you know the national anthem?
Yeah, are we wondering?
Sung it loud and proud. I learned off South Park when I was playing. No, I did, but you didn't really have Google and all that about then. And living with my brother, we was in the flat, and it was a Terence and Phillips special, South Park special, and they had O Canada with a bouncing ball, and I was literally going to play for them in a couple of weeks. I learned it. So, yeah, I used to sing it top of my lungs every day.
Brilliant, brilliant.
You didn't, sing it in the Cartman style, did you?
It was like a Ray Winston Lounge style.
Yeah.
Perfect.
There was John Hartson said in the commentary of the game earlier on today, the Croatia-Morocco game, he qualified for Wales, Birch, via his, I think he said his granddad. Qualified for Wales, qualified for Canada. As well as
Welsh
Wales.
Like ever.
He did qualify. What a shot that is. John Hartson's Welsh. I know, I couldn't believe it. So I meant no, of course. I wonder why you look so confused. No, he qualified to play for Canada. His granddad was from Newfoundland.
Yeah,
and they get like the Newfies, they get a lot of stick, don't they? So Newfie jokes,
a boo.
But you could have been playing with Big John.
Yeah, well, if he'd have come in, well, as you know, I qualified through my granddad because he was born and lived there a year. That was it. So
amazing,
Birch. Lovely to talk to you. Commiserations tonight. Let's hope Canada can get a result in the next game. Maybe we'll catch up with you later in the tournament. But for now, good luck at the weekend. And lovely to see you.
We got Bowery at home, David Platt's Bowery.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, lovely.
Well, good luck. All the best.
Cheers, chaps. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Talk Sport. Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from Talk Sport.
Mark Burcham there, our thanks to him. Now, let's look at some of the other games played today. I mean, the big seismic result of the day. We think we have one every day currently. Was Germany being beaten by Japan? And here to talk about that, the Spain performance and more. It's a man we often turn to on the show on a regular basis, of course, global football expert, Kevin Hatchard. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, gents. How are we?
Yes, pretty good, thank you. As you said, better than Hansi Flick is this evening. Quite a few of the old problems that we've seen with Germany in recent years seem to resurface in that game against Japan.
Yeah, they did. And we talked before the tournament about Germany's defensive deficiencies and that the only way really they were going to be able to mask those was by taking their chances in attack when they came. And it was the nightmare scenario because Germany lacked ruthlessness in attack and simply couldn't defend adequately. And we saw that the Ilkay Gundogan, who had a very heated interview afterwards, where he was very honest and open, said the winning goal was possibly the easiest goal ever conceded at a World Cup, which is maybe overdoing it just slightly.
Yeah.
But he was really angry. And he said, look, some of the players just didn't show for the ball, didn't want possession. And he said, how we didn't score the second goal is beyond me. And of course, he was a big part of that, had a really big chance to make it two, but he hit the post. Jamal Musiala tricked his way into a couple of brilliant positions and couldn't score. And the winning goal is really basic if you look at it. It's a failure to hold a line. Niklas Süle stays in. Antonio Rudiger comes out. And then Nico Schlotterbeck can't recover. The irony is the two Japanese goals are scored by players who were in Germany.
Yeah.
Ritsu Doan, who's played there for a while now and has been playing very well for Freiburg. And Takuma Asano, it is wild that he got the winner because he's barely played for Bochum this season because of injury. And he's never really been a regular goal scorer in Germany. So there's an irony there that a guy that can barely score in the Bundesliga scores the winner against Germany.
Yeah. What do you make of Neuer now? I mean, at one time he was just the supreme keeper, but I don't know. Has he seen his better days, really?
No, I thought he played well, and he had to play well, which is disturbing for Germany, really. He made an absolutely outstanding save late in the game, and there wasn't much he could do. I didn't think about either of the goals. I think he was left exposed. The weird thing about Germany is you look at all the individual defenders, and they're fine. But they've just never quite found the right back four. It just hasn't worked. Zula at right back, I expected that because they don't have an outstanding right back. And he has played there for Bayern. He has played there for Dortmund. But he doesn't have those instincts to kind of hold the line in that position. And that's what we saw for the winning goal.
And that now it's Spain with their tails up. We'll come on to them in a minute. And Germany need to get something from that match. It could be going the same way as 2018, Kev.
Yeah, and I've looked at German media and that's being talked about a lot. The fact that it could be a repeat of what happened in 2018. And actually, Hansi Flick was asked directly about that. And he said, well, that was nothing to do with me. I wasn't one of the coaching staff. So I'd just prefer to focus on this. But Thomas Müller was asked afterwards about the game, and he had a bit of an argument with the ARD reporter because she had suggested that the goals had been coming from Japan. And he said, well, I thought, you know, we were on top for an hour and looked as though we were going to go and win it. And really, we should have won it. So I think they are really wounded by this and really shocked by it as well, because they really should have gone on and won that game. It's a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah. We should talk about Spain. Were Spain great or were Costa Rica absolutely terrible or a bit of both?
I think without being disrespectful to Costa Rica, I think the three of us could maybe have played in midfield for Spain and they might still have sneaked it, I think. Look, I thought it was really tepid performance from Costa Rica. I was quite shocked. I'd expected them to be aggressive. I'd expected them to be a bit dirty, quite frankly, and kind of, you know, scythe a few people down and just get in Spain's faces. And it was feeble, quite frankly. Spain were very good. We shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't minimize what they did. But it's very, very difficult to judge them based on that. But I think the really encouraging thing for Luis Enrique is the fact that they had goals coming from all areas. So Dani Olmo looked sharp. Ferran Torres looked sharp. Asensio played well. Morata got his goal. That's important for him psychologically. That's going to be the key for them. Can they find enough goal scorers going forward?
I was reading a thing about Germany's preparation and where they're staying. And they've left nothing to chance, really. So basically how it didn't work out for them, I've no idea. Yeah. They're staying at the 5-star Eco Hotel called we don't even know what it's called, meticulous national team overlord Oliver Bierhoff targeted the expensive hideaway so the players can open their windows.
Yeah, they tried a hotel that had non-opening windows.
Really?
And he decided he couldn't possibly do that. It'd be too claustrophobic. So maybe he should have gone to the non-opening windows hotel. It could have made all the difference.
They should have got an underground hotel with just pitch black.
Yes. Let's not talk bunkers in this context. It's not a good idea.
Probably fair.
Yeah. What was I going to say to you? Canada kind of showed Costa Rica the way, didn't they? I mean, you know, sort of going out
and Saudi Arabia. It's that. You've got to go for it.
Really go for it. You know, just don't just turn up with these things and it's not death by a thousand cuts. What's the point?
Yeah, you've got to be brave. You do have to be brave. Yeah, if you're going to press, you have to press as a unit and you have to keep going. And I think Canada did that very well. I think we saw the pace of that team. I don't understand why Alfonso Davies took that pen. I know that he grabbed the ball and was very decisive, but he hasn't exactly got a brilliant scoring record for Bayern. And I thought that was a terrible penalty and a real shame, actually, because he's a player that I like very much. And I just thought generally their set piece taking was atrocious, and it really let them down because 90% of the performance was there. The energy was there. The pace was there. I thought Belgium, their flaws were highlighted. I think there was a lack of pace in that back line, and I thought Canada exploited that. So I think it's a bit of a shame that Canada couldn't quite make it happen and couldn't quite get that goal. But Belgium, unless they improve significantly, yeah, I can't see them going that far. No.
I tell you what I feel sorry for, actually. People who own sushi restaurants in Germany. Can't have done much of a trade tonight, really.
Well, you know what? It's the we've kind got of an Yun Kwan situation again, haven't we? You might remember when Italy got knocked out by South Korea in the World Cup back in 2002. Yun Kwan, who scored the goal against Italy, was playing in Italy, and their chairman made a big show of ripping up his loan contract, and he was sacked immediately. So half the Japanese team...
Very small-minded.
Yeah, if we run that kind of... if it's on that basis, half the Japanese team will lose their contract.
Brilliant. We should let you have the only word on Croatia and Morocco. I looked at my notes and there weren't any. It was...
I've got one about Ziyech, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, look, there were some moments there. Morocco came on strong and there was a bit of quality at times about Croatia, but it wasn't up to much. Croatia looked a bit devoid of ideas, really.
I thought it was a much better result for Morocco than it was for Croatia. I think what we saw from Morocco is how good a unit they are defensively. And I thought Yassine Bono played really well in goal, looked really commanding, made a big save from Vlasic when he needed to. Croatia were one-paced, really disappointing. And their big problem, really, is they don't have a centre-forward they can hang their hat on. Bruno Petkovic is a big, strong guy. Andre Kramaric has always been a good goal scorer in Germany, but not at international level. And there's nobody, really, that you could say, hand on heart, is going to put away a chance in the 90th minute to win you a game.
Kevin, lovely to talk to you, as always. Hopefully we'll catch up with you later in the tournament. But for now, thanks for joining us.
Cheers, guys.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport.
TalkSport. Thanks to Kevin Hatchard, European and indeed world football expert.
Finally, can I be the first person to talk about the World Cup ball? Because nobody is talking about the ball. Normally in a World Cup, ball. It flies. It's just like a normal ball.
Keepers aren't complaining.
No,
we've seen a few go over the bar, but no one's saying it's too light, it's too heavy, it's not round enough.
So I thought we'd talk about it just so that we could be the first.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
It's done. Thank you.
So that's us. That's us for another day. We'll be, Andy, we've got some good stuff tomorrow. I know sometimes I read the four games that are coming up tomorrow.
Okay.
You give me a 1,000-yard stare. So Switzerland, Cameroon. Well, you know. Maybe that's the outline. Then we've got, from a Tottenham point of view, Bentancur versus Sonny. It's the Uruguay versus South Korea.
I've got money on Uruguay, so I'll definitely be watching that.
Okay. Then we've got Portugal. And we're interested to see if Cristiano Ronaldo turns up. They play Ghana. So that should be a really entertaining game. And then we've got Brazil, first sight of Brazil. And then we'll see what all the fuss is about against Serbia. Serbia, a decent side. So... yeah, you know, it wouldn't be at all surprised if they could come unstuck against the team.
Nah, I think Brazil would be good.
Mitrovic is fit, apparently, the word is.
What a surprise.
Very important, yeah. So there we are, four more games to discuss tomorrow. I do hope you can join us then. Just download the podcast. I hope you've been enjoying them so far. We'll be doing a fresh one for you every day, of course, during this first couple of weeks podcast only. But for now, thanks for listening, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Sport. Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.